If you turn to the book of Ephesians, you will find our text for this morning there in verse 3 of chapter 1. The chapter begins, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We have seen so far in our study that Paul is writing to the saints in Ephesus. We've learned a little about who they are and Paul's history with this congregation, and how in verse 2 he greets them as an apostle on the behalf of God with these wonderful words, grace be to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw how this is a very concise summary of the gospel. And no sooner has he brought this greeting than he begins to unpack it. And he, in a manner, launches out into the gospel deep. He begins to fly high in his soul as he opens for us the wonder of our glorious salvation. And as he does this, he doesn't write a kind of abstract, dry, theological statement, but he sets it in the context of adoration and praise. Doctrine, we said a few weeks ago, leads to praise. Theology must issue in doxology. Well, he begins in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And then on the back of that, he opens up his praise in three sections that are consciously Trinitarian. You're going to see this throughout the book of Ephesians. But for example, in verse 3 through 6, he's focusing upon what the Father has done, chosen us in Christ, adopted us to be his children. And then in verse 7 through 11, he focuses upon what the Son has done, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Then verse 12 through 14, he focuses upon what the Spirit has done. For example, verse 13, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Father, Son, and Spirit engaged in the work of man's salvation. Well, as I said this morning, we want to focus upon verse 3. And our subject is this: blessing for blessing. We are to bless God for who he is and all of his blessings to us. Well, let's consider this first of all by thinking about the blessed God. In verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's an exhortation. It's like Paul praising himself, but also encouraging and stirring us up to praise. Let him be blessed. We began this morning by singing Psalm 34. He says, God will I bless all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. But then he says, come, magnify the Lord together with me. Let us exalt his name together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This means that we are, first of all, to think highly of him. And then, from that heart, we will speak well of him and well to him. Now we'll circle back to that when we get to the third point. But before we get there, we need to understand why. Why are we to bless God? Well, the answer is for who he is and for how he has blessed us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Well, the first thing to note here is that God is blessed. God is blessed. infinitely, eternally, and unchangeably blessed. That is to say, he is perfectly happy, altogether fulfilled, abundantly satisfied, so that nothing can be added to him. He does not increase in blessedness. So when Paul comes and says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," he's not saying that there is something that we can add to God by way of our praise, but all that we can do is acknowledge and declare it. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 9 that he is God over all, blessed forever. When he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15, he says this, "Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." This is our God. The blessed God. But according to our text, God is to be blessed in particular relation to his name. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now you know that God reveals himself by many names in Scripture, more names than you can remember today. But God could reveal himself by countless more names than he does, because these names describe the infinite glory, the indescribable glory of our blessed God. So you start at the beginning, Genesis 1 verse 1, "In the beginning, God," Elohim, "God created the heavens and the earth." You move through the book of Genesis and you'll meet him as El Shaddai. He's revealed to us as the Lord Jehovah. When you come to this verse, it is true to say that God is using a climactic name. A climactic name that is full of theological and historical significance. And as you understand that name, you will be the more enabled to bless God. Well, what can we say of it? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, this: the Father is the Father of the Son eternally. The Father is the Father of the Son eternally. That is, in the Trinity, before the world was. Eternally begotten of the Father in the blessedness of the Holy Trinity. So that the Son is of the same essence as the Father, and thus co-equal with the Father. So we have to start there. The Father is the Father of the Son eternally. But then we have to go further. The Father is the God and Father of Christ incarnationally. The Father is the God and Father of Christ incarnationally. So the Father is the Father eternally of the Son. He is not the God of the Son. There. But now when we introduce this term, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are thinking of the eternal Son incarnated, taking our flesh. And so the Father can say to him and of him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Peter can say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But listen, the Father is also the God of Christ in his incarnated state. God and man in two distinct natures, yet one person forever. He humbles himself to become the servant of the Lord. Think of how Jesus speaks. Most famously on the cross in his hour of darkness, what does he cry? "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then after that, if you turn to John chapter 20, where he appears unto his disciples and speaks to one in particular in verse 17, listen to what he says. John chapter 20 and verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, that is Mary, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. The Father is the God and Father of Christ incarnationally. Friends, you know, it is very interesting that the Psalms anticipate this. The Psalms anticipate this, and it's another reason why they are so fitted for the praise of the New Testament church. If you turn to Psalm 16, you have a prime example of this. Now, many people know the end of Psalm 16 refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, nor wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. But the whole psalm is a psalm about Christ. Christ is singing this psalm as the servant and the Son of God. And he worships God as his God. Psalm 16 verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Verse 5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Verse 7, I will bless the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Here is the Son of God in our flesh, worshipping his Father as God. And then coming to the end of the psalm and saying, for thou, that is my God and my Father, will not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Read Psalm 45. You'll find the same thing there. Study Psalm 89 that we mentioned this morning. He will cry, thou art my Father. The Father will say to him, thou art my Son. The Son will say, thou art my God. Who are you singing of? You are singing of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll come to see that's so significant to all the blessings that we have in and through him. But there's a third thing here that we can say. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ must be considered historically. This name of our blessed God. So in the beginning, he's our creator. Man falls. God opens up his covenant of grace. And he reveals himself by names in relation to that covenant. So you move to Genesis chapter 9. What do we hear there? Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Shem is the chosen line. You go further. Blessed be the Lord God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Psalm 41 verse 13. Blessed be the Lord God forever and ever. Do you see how these names are used in relation to blessing God for his unfolding covenant salvation? What was it all pointing to? And what were they all waiting for? God ultimately to be revealed in the person of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So God can come to the Jews in Exodus chapter 6 and he says, you are going to know me by the name of Jehovah. Your fathers did not know me by that name. And you say, wait a minute. Yes, they did. You revealed by the name Jehovah in the book of Genesis. And the Lord would say, ah, but now you're going to see it demonstrated. I'm going to redeem you from the land of Egypt. You're going to know that name in a new way. When Paul uses this name, he is saying Jesus has come to fulfill it all. He has come to seal the new covenant in his blood. And with the revelation of the new covenant, he gives himself a new, fuller, climactic name. The God, Father, Jesus Christ. Oh, brethren, this is our God. The God who sent his Son and named him Jesus, that he might be our Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. The blessed God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. A blessed people. This God is infinitely blessed in himself. And he is the source of all true blessing for his people. And there are two things here in verse 3 that highlight this, how he blesses his people. The first is he blesses us with spiritual blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now that's a very important word. It's a technical term in the New Testament, and it's theological. And I want you to see again here the Trinity. We showed you that in this great doxology, we have three sections, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. In this verse, we have the same pattern. How? Blessed be the God and Father of the Son, who blesses us through the Spirit. Do you see that? You see, when you read this spiritual blessings, you must not interpret it the way many today in the modern church interpret this word spiritual in a vague way. I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. What's that even mean? I've had a spiritual experience. I'm having a spiritual conversation. There's an informal way that we can use that term, but in Scripture, this term spiritual means produced by and conveyed through the Holy Spirit. Produced by and conveyed through the Holy Spirit. I think B.B. Warfield, from memory, he has an article on this very truth. Paul says that we have spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. Let me put it like this. Every saint has the Spirit of God. Verse 13 tells us that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Every saint, therefore, is blessed with all spiritual blessings. And in one sense, we can say those spiritual blessings are many. And we could list them, as Paul will go on to do here. All spiritual blessings, every single spiritual blessing. And then in another sense, we can say all of these spiritual blessings are one. Do you remember writing to the Galatians? Paul speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Well, how many fruit are there? One. Fruit in the singular. Why? Well, it's tied to this, that every saint has all spiritual blessings. It's not as though there are some for you and some for me. It's all for all. It's every spiritual blessing for every single Christian. Spiritual blessings. But not only are they spiritual blessings, he goes further to tell us that God blesses us with heavenly blessings. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Do you know that as a Christian, you live in two places? You live in earth and you live in heaven. You say, well, how can that be? Well, that very important phrase, in Christ. And Paul will keep coming back to it. The whole of our salvation is in Christ. Well, if you are in Christ, you need to ask, where is Christ? Well, Christ is in heaven. If I'm in Christ, then there is a very real sense where I am in heaven. Paul actually expands on that in chapter 2, verse 6, and he tells us that we are seated together with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. God is blessing us with spiritual blessings. God is blessing us with heavenly blessings. Because ultimately, the blessing is Christ and all things in him. Our Lord Jesus Christ took our nature, suffered and died, enduring the miseries of the condemnation of God, that he might purchase blessedness for his people. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he looks into the cup. And he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What was in the cup? Well, the answer is the curse of God. The curse of God for our sins. And Jesus ends up taking that cup willingly. It's as though the Father's pressing it to his lip to begin with. And Jesus comes to understand the fullness of what it will be to suffer in humanity, the infinite wrath of God. And he says, is there any other way? And the silence of the Father answers him, no. And the Son then, in a sense, puts both hands around the stem of that cup and empties it into his own soul. He takes the curse so that Paul can write this, that his people are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in him. I want to speak to those of you who are not believers. If you are not in Christ, you have absolutely no spiritual blessings in heavenly places in him. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is not your God. He is not your Father. He is only your avenging judge. Now, you want blessedness, that is true. But you cannot have this blessedness unless you come to him. And everywhere you pursue this blessedness in life, as you do, because you don't want to be miserable, everywhere that you pursue this blessedness that is not in Jesus Christ will ultimately only serve to add to your misery. But the problem is that you have not learned to seek all of your blessedness in God. Now, you can talk about God. You can even talk about blessing. What you do is you evaluate blessing in the externals of your life. You might say, I'm blessed by God. What do you mean? Well, everything's at peace in my life. I have food. I've got provision. All of my needs are met. I'm blessed by God. The curse of God is upon the house and prosperity of the wicked. And he can be flourishing in material things and absolutely void of all spiritual blessings. The only thing that can satisfy your soul is all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And Satan will come and lie to you, and your own sinful heart will drive you to look for these things in the flesh. But you can't have them. You can have bread on your table and the curse of God with it. You can have money in the bank and the curse of God with it. And you can only have spiritual blessings through faith in Jesus Christ. So you need to examine your life and ask, where are you seeking blessing from? Do you know anything about spiritual blessings? But then let me speak to those of you who are Christians. Because you can make the same mistake. Oh, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet you don't seek your blessings here. You fall into the trap of counting your blessings by the things that you have in this life. You say, well, do I do that? Test yourself. When you lose them, how do you respond? When I lose them, I'm miserable. The truth is, when you get them, you're miserable too. Because you've forgotten where your true blessedness is. Paul says to you this morning, get your eye on another world. Set your affections in a different place. Remember what he writes to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 1 and following. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. What's our text? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, friends. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. This is why the psalmist is able to say at the end of Psalm 73, when he'd got everything upside down, and he said, look at the wicked, they're blessed. And look at me, I'm trying to be faithful and I'm not. And God says, come into my house, sit down, shut your eyes, and I want to show you how things really are. And then I understood their end. You've set them in slippery places. All of their blessings are being turned into a curse. What does he say at the end of it all? Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. He learned that true blessings were to be found through the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And even though we might lose all of these earthly, material, temporal blessings, we still have all of these blessings. So you can have all material blessings with none of these spiritual blessings in Christ. And God could take all material blessings from you and you would not lose one of these superior blessings. Friends, do you live in the expectation of this? Do you live on earth with your heart toward heaven, laying hold of a truth like this, expecting God to lavish these blessings upon you in this life? Your God is the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given his Son for you. Listen, how will he not with him also freely give you all things? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I want to focus on one of them that's linked to this name. And we'll open up the rest as the weeks proceed. Jesus says to Mary, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended. But go to the disciples and tell them that I am ascending unto my Father and your Father, and unto my God and your God. Here I want to focus upon the you. You want to talk about spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, focus upon the your. In Jesus Christ, God is your Father. In Jesus Christ, God is your God. All these blessings flow from Him. But understand this. If this God so determines to bless, then nothing, nothing can oppose Him blessing. Let's turn to the Old Testament, the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 22. You remember how Balak, the king of Moab, wanted Israel cursed. And so he hired a false prophet by the name of Balaam. Numbers chapter 22, verse 6. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I might drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursed is cursed. Balaam, curse Israel for me. Well, the narrative continues. It comes to a culmination in chapter 23, verse 18. And Balaam has tried to curse. And all he can do now is to come back to Balak and say, and he took up this parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Listen, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. It doesn't matter how much you want me to. It doesn't matter how much you pay me to. It is impossible. Because the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ hath blessed his people in Christ with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. God comes to us and he says, oh, blessed are you of the Lord that has made heaven and earth. God comes to you in the priestly benediction and says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing can stop that blessing from falling upon the people of Christ. The blessed God blesses his people. Well, thirdly, how do we respond to this? By saying, oh, bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. So many verses in Scripture reply to God's blessing. Thy saints, O Lord, will bless you. What about the end of Psalm 72? And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. I want to focus upon Psalm 103. Psalm 103, which is bookended in verse 1 and in verse 22 with this sermon to himself as he is stirring up his own heart to bless the Lord. What does he say? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now remember I said earlier, to bless the Lord is to think highly of him. We can never think highly enough. And then to speak well of him and to him in the sense that we use all of the language that we can to adore him and to praise him and to bless him. For what? Well, friends, for all that he is. For all that he is. Blessed be his glorious name forever. Remember I said that he himself is God over all, blessed forever? That means that there is never a moment in our lives where we cannot acknowledge the blessedness of God and to praise Him for it. You say, well, what's the point in me blessing God if I cannot add to His blessedness? That's not the point. The blessedness of God is inherent in itself. It's the joy of saints to acknowledge it and to adore Him for it. This will test your heart. You know, where am I seeking blessing? In food and raiment and family life and health and jobs? This will be a test of your heart. For when you consider the blessed God, is your soul filled with joy, satisfaction? Psalm 103, He is the blessed God who is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. And it's another list of reasons as to why we ought to bless God. Bless Him for who He is. Now that will take you a while. But then you can bless Him for everything He's done. For everything that He's done. That the blessed God, who is absolutely blessed in Himself, has not kept His blessedness to Himself, but He determined to bless us. And so He created us that we might be blessed. And then when we fell, He redeemed us in order that we might be blessed. And He sent His Son into the world as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in order that we might be blessed. And we can thank Him, yes, for all of our temporal blessings. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. And we return to the Lord with thanks. But the priority must always be these superlative blessings. And you find it in this psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Don't forget any of His benefits. Where does He begin? Who forgiveth our iniquities. Who forgiveth our iniquities. Before we get onto anything else, the priority is upon the spiritual. Why are you unthankful? Well, it may be because you're not forgiven. You're not forgiven. You don't know God. You haven't experienced the blessings of forgiveness for sin. Oh, friends, we could go on forever on this. Everything God is. Everything God has done. But one final thing. We bless Him with all of our heart. Do you get the sense that the psalmist is struggling with the same thing as the Apostle Paul when he contemplates God's great salvation? That he doesn't have the words or passion sufficient enough to praise Him. And so he preaches to himself, come on, soul! What's wrong with you, soul? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Like Paul, his heart is full. His soul is aflame. And he realizes, because of who God is and everything God has done, that God is worthy of all of our hearts. And brethren, He is worthy of all of your heart, all of the time. Now maybe you come into this place this morning and your circumstances are miserable. What you need to do is stop focusing upon your circumstances, stop fixing upon your moods and your feelings, and lift up your eyes and bless God. God will I bless at all times. His praise will be continually in my mouth. Why? Because He's worthy of all of my heart, all of the time. So the psalmist comes to end Psalm 103, and he's just looking everywhere at everything, and he's saying, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Verse 20, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. And then he comes back to himself and he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Blessing for blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let us stand for prayer. O Lord God, our Father, we thank you that we can say that because you are first the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We bless you for all the blessedness that you have in and of all of your attributes that we admire. We wish we had 10,000 tongues and 10,000 lives, that we could do more justice to the praise that is due unto thy holy name. But with what we have, we come and we say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We thank you for Jesus Christ and for everything that is to be found in him. We thank you that you freely give these things to us, and that you have set before us that climactic name in the revelation of our crucified and risen Savior. O Lord, give us a song in our souls today. Help us, if we are bowed down and brokenhearted, to sing your praise through our tears. Help us to learn that our blessedness is not in our possessions, not in our feelings, not in our circumstances, but our blessedness and satisfaction is to be found in thee alone. O Lord our God, receive our worship and praise, as you alone are worthy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.